From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Wednesday, May 29th. Coming up, we'll listen to a conversation with a health reporter about why it's difficult to lower drug costs. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The Illinois House approved a $53 billion state budget early this morning, but passing the revenue package to help pay for it was difficult. The spending plan increases education funding, fully funds next year's state pension payment, and pays for dozens of local district projects, also known as PORC. State Representative John Cabello of Rockford says Republicans didn't get any of those. They were shut out of the process again.
Our taxpayers deserve the same treatment of being able to look at projects. But how are we supposed to give them to you if you don't bring us to the table?
The spending plan now goes to Governor J.B. Pritzker, who says he looks forward to signing it. But it took lawmakers three times and more than 2 hours to pass the revenue package, which includes a tax hike on sports wagering, finally approving it early this morning. Urbana is considering whether to expand its police force based on a public safety study it commissioned. Ben Jocelyn was one of many at yesterday's city council meeting opposed to a bigger police budget. He says that wouldn't align with the reason councilors called for a study.
With the uprising in 2020, we then had more support, more folks pushing on it, and the council heard that. And put out this request for proposal, which specifically says we are hoping to do an analysis of safety, which will limit the harm done because of race, homelessness, and other circumstance.
Maine-based consulting firm Barry Dunn recommended hiring more officers in the first phase of the study. The company has yet to finish the second phase, which studies alternative responses to crises than policing. During a city council meeting last night, some council members said they are waiting for the next stage of the study to act. State lawmakers have approved a measure to pause the development of carbon dioxide pipelines in Illinois. Capital News Illinois reports the technology, which proponents want to use to reduce carbon emissions in heavy industry, has been the center of controversy in recent years. Senate Bill 1289 restricts the development of new projects until the federal government finalizes safety rules after a 2020 pipeline failure in Mississippi that hospitalized nearly 50 people. Advocates for the technology say the bill provides much-needed legal clarity on liability for this type of project, but some question the bill's handling of eminent domain, saying it might run afoul to the U.S. Constitution. And East Central Illinois lawmakers say the bill is flawed because it doesn't include a complete ban on carbon capture sites over the Mahomet Aquifer. The bill was backed by Governor J.B. Pritzker, who has said he looks forward to signing it into law. The Illini men's basketball team saw Lithuanian guard Kasparas Jakšionis commit to play for the team this upcoming season. Jakšionis is an 18-year-old that stands at 6'5" and is considered one of the top international prospects for the 2025 NBA draft. He has averaged over 15 points per game multiple times in his career, spanning multiple different international leagues. He is the second major international player to join the Illini this offseason, alongside Croatian center Tomislav Ivić. Still to come, a conversation about why it's difficult to lower drug costs. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
Next time on the 21st Show, pharmacies across the country have been struggling to find staff. That hits especially hard in rural areas, where the pharmacist is often the only local contact people have with our healthcare system. We'll talk with experts and a rural pharmacist about what goes into that work. I'm Brian Mackey. That's next time on the 21st Show. Join us.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The cost of drugs in the U.S. continues to skyrocket. The average drug price increase from 2022 to 2023 was 15%, according to the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Some federal agencies say Big Pharma plays a role in keeping drug prices high for Americans. Lizzie McGrevy, Side Effects Public Media's community engagement specialist, spoke with health reporter Elizabeth Gabriel about why it's difficult to lower drug costs.
The cost of drugs in the U.S. continues to skyrocket. The average drug price increase from 2022 to 2023 was 15%, according to the United States Department of Health and Human Services. Some federal organizations say Big Pharma plays a role in keeping drug prices high for Americans. So why is it so hard to lower drug costs? That's the checkup's question for today. I'm Lizzie McGreevy, Community Engagement Specialist at Side Effects Public Media, and with me today is health reporter Elizabeth Gabriel.
Hey, Lizzie.
Hi, Elizabeth. So I've seen in the news just a few weeks ago that the Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, took a rare step. It sent warning letters to drug makers saying that companies are abusing the system by filing what are called junk patents for their drugs. Can you help us understand what this means?
Yeah. So drug patents in the U.S. last for 20 years, and the Food and Drug Administration keeps track of those patents in something known as the Orange Book.
Orange Book? What's that?
So the Orange Book has a list of drugs and patents that the FDA deems safe and effective. As long as those patents are in place, pharma companies get to choose the price of the drug without competition. Drug makers say that's necessary because they pour millions and millions of dollars into cutting-edge research and drug development. After these patents expire, competitors like generic drug manufacturers can eventually join the market and typically offer the drug at a much lower price for consumers. But now, the FTC says drug makers are gaming the system by filing what is described as junk patents. Those are patents that don't really protect intellectual property or innovation in how a drug is made. The FTC says drug makers use them to extend their exclusive rights to the drug and prevent generic manufacturers from entering the market.
Elizabeth, this is truly blowing my mind. It's great to hear that the FTC has sent out these letters, but what about generic drug makers? Is there anything they can do? Can they sue the original pharma companies so they get on the market faster?
Yes, but that costs a ton of money and time. So they end up waiting out the patent, and that can take years.
Can you give us some examples of these junk patents?
Sure. So, for example, some drug makers would file patents for injection devices that are used to administer medications instead of the actual drug. Or when their initial patent is close to expiring, they make a very slight change to the dosage or the formulation of their drug. But the changes aren't innovative enough to warrant claims that their intellectual property is being stolen. So in case of an asthma drug, they would change the plastic or canister of the inhaler.
This is so wild. How has this even been happening? Aren't there any guardrails in the system to protect from something exactly like this?
Lizzie, that is such a good question. So there just isn't a strong federal accountability system filtering through patents. I spoke to Robin Feldman. She is a professor who studies healthcare law at the University of California, San Francisco. She says it's a regulatory problem in the sense that no one is minding the store.
The Patent and Trademark Office doesn't care whether something is useful or whether it's just being patented for an anti-competitive reason. They just look at whether something is different. The FDA does not consider itself a competition agency. The FDA says our job is just to decide whether it's safe and effective. Competition aid, that's not really our stuff. The Federal Trade Commission, for the first time, is stepping in and saying, okay, fine, we'll do some of this stuff, but they are overburdened and have bigger fish to fry. And they don't really have the inside view of what's happening at the FDA.
Okay, so how exactly have drug makers responded to this?
Some drug companies have actually removed their junk patents from the FDA's Orange Book, and that's led to improvements in terms of how much patients pay for asthma drugs, for example. But other companies argue that the FTC's accusation that their patents are junk isn't accurate.
So what's next in all of this?
If drug manufacturers don't remove their junk patent listings, they'll open themselves up to antitrust lawsuits, and those can be pretty expensive. But the FTC hasn't announced if and when this would happen.
Thank you for this wonderful information, Elizabeth. I always learn so much here during the checkup. And if you, our listeners, have questions about the healthcare system, about your health in general, or maybe some questions you're a little too shy to ask your doctor, let us know and we can try to get those answered for you on the checkup. Until next time, stay safe.
Side Effects Public Media is a health reporting collaboration of NPR member stations across the Midwest. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be mostly sunny with a high of 74 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by May Antar, Alex Degman, Colin Highslope, and Elizabeth Gabriel. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.